podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back, the takeover edition of the Fans Football Show. We are on location at Buffalo Wild Wings up here in St. Joe, Missouri at 5403 North Belt Highway. We'll be here for just under another hour, so come on out. It is jam-packed here, a lot of great energy. People watching the KU basketball game against North Carolina up by 17 points going into halftime right now. We got NHL, college football, NBA classics, a host, and then we got the NFL Network on replaying the Bengals versus the Ravens last night. So an assortment of sports up here, great food, great deals, $5 ice cold Bud Light Talls. That's 22 ounces, as my man Barbershop has dubbed it. It is the McDuffie special.
The McDuffie.
22-ounce ice cold Bud Light Talls here. Pick six, two entrees, two sides, two soft drinks for $19.99. If you come on Thursdays, you get to buy one, get one free on Bud Boneless Wings. So, Barbershop, first of all, I appreciate you coming out this evening. I'm appreciating that I got tagged in to come in and join you on your show.
Yeah,
with our brother Jay Binkley, under the weather. Prayers out to him. But, Barbershop, we were tackling in the previous segments the offensive grades.
Yeah.
For listeners that are just tuning in, it's almost the midway point of the season for the Chiefs, so it's a proper time to kind of give out some grades and where we stand, even though the best indication of what we are is 8-0.
Yes.
But outside of that, there's grades to be given on each position. So we went over the defensive side. Let's go to the defensive side. Let's start with the defensive line. What's your assessment of where this defense is and your grade?
I mean, overall, I like what I'm seeing, especially from George Karlaftis. I think, to me, even though Chris Jones is getting all the double teams, and that's freeing up everybody else, George Karlaftis has done a great job as far as first half of the season, just showcasing true energy, grit, determination. I mean, he's always coming after that quarterback. There's always a presence of the quarterback. Even when they get rid of the ball, you know he's kind of touching you, feeling like, hey, I've been around you. So I just love his demeanor and his presence. Chris Jones is Chris Jones, right? He's the CEO of Sac Nation. He's the owner of it. He's been doing his thing. He gets pressure on demand. But collectively, I like what I'm seeing from everybody else. I like the Mike Danners of the world, the Tim Whartons, Naughty was getting a little nasty last game. I like what I'm seeing when it's just not a one-man show.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, there's some teams that we even talk about the Bengals last night. They got Trey Hendricks. And besides that, I can't even tell you who's left. Like, there's nobody else showing up on film, no one else making any plays. Yeah, Hendricks has 11 or something sacks halfway through the season. But the team is 4-6 because nobody else on that D-line is showing up.
That's right.
So I like the fact that collectively our D-line is doing an awesome job getting pressures, not always finishing the sack, but definitely making a presence.
Disrupting.
And what they've been doing as a front seven with the run game, I mean, I can't give them anything less than a B-plus because when you stop King Henry, Alvin Kamara,
J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins. Just this list, one by one, just keep going down the list of running backs that they have kept under 100 yards and just kind of stifling the running games no matter who we're playing against. I think that falls on the shoulders of the D-line a lot. So they're getting the B-plus mostly because of what they're doing against the run game.
All right. You got the defensive line covered there. Now we'll go to your former position
A-plus.
As a former linebacker. Give me your assessment. You definitely can't be biased here.
Oh, man, listen, man, listen.
No allegiance to your linebackers.
Listen,
give me
great. Man, listen, Leo Chenault is a man among men. He might be the X factor. He might be the most deserving, unknown weapon X that you've ever seen on a football field. I've seen him single-handedly just deposit offensive linemen into the backfield over and over again.
I like that, deposit.
Yes. What did I say? He's a natural disaster in A-gaps. He does what he needs to do. Leo's doing up. And then Drew Tranquil and Bolton, I mean, these guys are quarterbacking our defense. They're making sure everybody's lined up. Again, when you're a part of that front seven and to see what we've done against run games so far through 8 weeks, through 9 weeks now of the season, I mean, man, you got to get a high grade. If there are some room for improvements, cover. I mean, obviously we've given up a lot of yards versus tight ends. Otten last week scored a touchdown on an out and up. Yes, we scored it on the safety, but I just believe as a linebacker we can do a lot to help the back end. Getting our hands on those guys, not giving any free releases, continuously being physical, relieving double teams, filling gaps, making tackles, no leaky yardage. So, I mean, there's always room for improvement. We got to do some things a little bit better when it comes to the leaky yardage. But the communication and the trust, the commitment, I'm seeing those things at an all-time high. And as long as you're doing those things, you're playing championship football. So I'm giving them a B+.
All right, let's go to the defensive backs. Now, I'm going to include all four. Actually, it's crazy to say. It's probably all six or seven because of the packages that we have on the field, the corners, the safeties, the nickel, the dime, the three safety packages that we have when we have Jaden Hicks, actually four safeties at times, with Shamari Connor, Brian Cook, Justin Reed, and Jaden Hicks, who got some reps on defense this past week as well on Monday Night Football. The main core guys at the cornerback position, Trent McDuffie, Christian Roland Wallace, and now Joshua Williams. Give me your overall assessment of that group.
Of those seven individuals, man, I got to say, I'm giving them a B-.
Ooh.
And the reason I give them a B- is when it comes to, like, being this super sticky and making plays, we're doing what we need to be doing to be there to make a tackle. But I want to see more pass breakups. I want to see more playing through receivers' hands all the way to the ground. I want to see more peanut punching, getting that ball before the receiver is able to secure the catch. And, like, again, we're playing with amazing energy, the trust and the leverage. But, we have, you know, whenever there's an injury, the next man has to step up. And so when Watson went down, is asking Roland Williams to step up. Roland Wallace to step up. And to me, if there was a target where the Bucks continuously targeted the same guy, it was him. They kept targeting number 30 over and over again. Again, Aaron opportunity. Man, listen, there's nothing in this world that you've ever succeeded at that's not built on a lot of failure.
Yes.
And these guys, they are gritty. They grimy. They like I said, they play sticky, hard nose. We even saw in the San Francisco game, when that secondary, when they punched Trent Williams in the face, to let him know, hey, we don't care who you are, big cat. Yep. We ain't taking nothing. Like that right there, that's when I knew we had some straight dogs. Yeah, man.
That's going to be one of the high points of the season is that attitude right there.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the special teams. Now, I am surprised of all your grades. I'm surprised that you gave a B- to the defensive backfield. I'll let you live with that. I'll let that breathe. But let's go to special teams.
Nobody gets A's.
I know.
My parents
are B-.
Yeah, listen. The yardage. You can't let a team go down the field the way they went down the field in that final draft. The final draft against the Buccaneers.
But in that circumstance, you play defense. It's a prevent defense. What do you think about prevent defense? It seemed like that's what they were trying to do. Keep the ball in front of them, and. Like, there's people that think prevent sometimes prevents you from winning. But then there's also the component of prevent where you are just trying to make sure that the big plays are not gotten.
Well, I know we was bringing a lot of pressure, and the passes were still being completed. So the pressure was getting there. He was throwing off the back foot. He was throwing off time. Again, some good passes. But all in all, that's your job. You got to do your job. You got to break those passes up. You got to find a way. Find a way to succeed.
Now, let's get back to special teams.
So far, Bucker, I don't know the season stats on him, but I don't think he's missed, maybe one extra point, one field goal so far this season.
Yeah, he's missed one extra point and two field goals. 20 of 21 in extra points and 15 of 17 in field goals.
All right, well, in my eyes, and I think if you even ask him, he expects himself to be 100%.
Yeah.
So if on my grading chart, I'm doing some quick math, that brings him down to a 89, which is a B.
Definitely not a mathematician. Not a baseball historian or a football historian, but not a mathematician.
He grades out as an 89, which is a B+. man, Bucker is, man, listen, we know that he lives for the moment. He wants it to be on his shoulders. Yeah. Whenever there's a big kick to be made, whether it's to tie up the game, to give us a lead, to take it overtime, he's prepared and willing. You know what? I'm gonna go back on my word. There's one person that I'm gonna give an A to, and that's gonna be Ariza, the punter.
Ariza, yes.
He's getting
not Ariza, yes.
He's getting the A because the way he has coughing kicked, turned the field. I mean, phenomenal, yeah. Phenomenal job so far. Very consistent.
Matt Ariza, his numbers going into the game Monday night, he had a 52.3 average punt, 45.7 net. Each of those numbers went down just a bit to 50 even on the average and 43.6 on the net. So I believe that puts him in the top three in the NFL. But I agree, since you're giving out only one A,
yeah, that's it.
Give it to Matt A, Matt Ariza.
Yeah, Matt. That's he's A-minus too.
All right.
Get A-minus because nobody gets no A-pluses.
Nobody gets an A-plus. Real quick before we go to break.
Coaches. A-plus.
All the coaches, staff, offense, hey, defense, man. Special teams.
That's right. All the coaches
across the board.
That's right. The all game right. plans.
I feel you.
I'm going with the game. The game plans I've seen have all been winning game play. Like we haven't gotten to that mode where we're just, you know what, win, lose, or draw. We're just going to stick with the game.
Yeah.
Now we've been very creative. I like plays, the seeing some, you know, some jets.
Yeah, the nuances. Everything.
Nuances and stuff.
Yeah, it has been good to see. I will say that we are, if you watch the game as closely as I know you do and I do as well, we put ourselves in positions to win. We're not trying not to lose.
That's right.
And there are coaches out there that make decisions to try not to lose versus to win. So we should be feel very fortunate that we have that mindset of going for the wins. All right. When we come back, we still got to talk about these Broncos coming up this week. Well, we got to tackle
week.
The donkeys are coming to town. We're going to talk about them next. All right, welcome back to the Fans Football Show. We are here at Buffalo Wild Wings up in St. Joe, Missouri at 5403 North Belt Highway. I'm here with Sean Barber, a.k.a. Barbershop, and I am Danon Hughes here just for another 40 minutes left in this show with a live discussion. We've been talking Chiefs. We've given out some grades, talking about the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, the good and not so good. One of the great components is that we are the only undefeated team left in the NFL at 8-0. Come join us for some incredibly delicious wings, $5 ice-cold Bud Light Talls, a.k.a. the McDuffie Special, 22-ounce ice-cold Bud Light Talls right here at Buffalo Wild Wing. Yes, this is the Fans Football Show up here in St. Joe this week. You also have an opportunity to register to win a Travis Kelce bobblehead, a 4-foot-tall, that's right, tall, Travis Kelce bobblehead, as well as a back-to-back Bud Light Super Bowl neon LED light that takes up about three-quarters of the table right next to us. We also have some giveaways, so if you're here and it's jam-packed here, come on up, sign up, get you some koozies, stress balls. I don't know if there's any T-shirts left, but we got a lot of great gifts all donated here from Bud Light and having this great relationship with Buffalo Wild Wings. Each and every Friday this season, we, the Fans Football Show, will be at different locations around Kansas City, different Buffalo Wild Wings locations around Kansas City. So check out the Fans website. That's 96.5 The Fan. Check out the website to find the full listing of each the Fans Football Show locations going forward each and every Friday night through hopefully a continued undefeated season and a third Super Bowl win in a row. That's what I think everybody here in the Chiefs Kingdom is looking for. Fortunately, as fans, we can think about the big picture and hope for the best in regards to an undefeated season. But on the flip side, our team, our coaches, our staff, the entire organization, Barbershop, they're thinking about the donkeys coming to town. They're thinking about the Denver Broncos at 5-4, coming to GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium to try to put a little bit of a spoiler on our season And they are the next opponents at hand. And that's one of the cool things for me as a color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network, is I get to be around the players a little bit more than most, and you get to see where their mind is, even after wins, big wins on Monday Night Football, overtime victories, big clashes with teams that they played, like the Ravens and the Bengals earlier this season. Mm-hmm. It's always even keeled. They're always about the business at hand. And whether we go down to Atlanta and all the Atlanta fans and the radio stations were saying this is the biggest game in Mercedes-Benz history,
yeah,
when the Chiefs played the Atlanta Falcons. That's how they went into the game. You know how we went into the game?
Business as usual.
It was game three.
Game three.
It was game three. And that's the mindset. When I was in the locker room this past week after the win against the Buccaneers, got to interview Trent McDuffie, got to interview Joshua Uche. Those guys were just about the business at hand. We got our eighth win. It wasn't our best effort. We'll be better next week.
Yes.
That's the mindset each and every week. But now we got the Donkeys coming in town. What do you see with the Denver Broncos? What kind of problem could they pose?
Is Creed Humphrey still wearing his "this is
yes,
my"?
Yes, he is. Every single week, every single opponent. I love it.
Yeah, this is my Denver week shirt or whatever it is. Every week is just a new – like I keep it simple, man. I'm out here to do my work. And that kind of mentality just it shows them how they just turn in the page to the next opponent. I'm going to be honest. When it comes to the Broncos, I know they drafted Bo Nix. I know he's a guy from Oregon. I know they still have Courtland Sutton as a wide receiver. Got rid of Judy. I don't know the tight end. I know as far as running backs, they got Javonta Williams. I think they drafted the guy out of Notre Dame. I can't even pronounce his last name. Not sure if he's getting any
Aldrick,
run.
Yep.
Aldrick. On defense, Pat Surtain Jr. is the key cog. They lost Simmons, the safety, went
yep.
to Atlanta. But, I mean, after that, man, really, they got a bunch of young guys trying to make plays. And when you got that, you're going to have some run into some walls.
Yeah.
So I think that there's some games where their game plan works. And they're able to keep people to, you know, mid-20s in points, and they're able to, you know, sustain some drives and get some yardage. And their red zone offense is, you know, it's probably a little bit iffy right now, because that's when a quarterback, you know, the windows and the lanes get really tight. You got to be, you know, even more accurate as a quarterback. I don't see Bo Nix being one of the best quarterbacks when it comes to his accuracy.
Yeah.
I see that Sean Payton is doing a great job of creating plays, drawing up plays to get him easy throws down the field to Courtland Sutton based off of play action and stuff. But when it comes to him being a guy actually making plays with his arm, he's doing more damage actually with his legs.
Yes.
Design quarterback runs, scrambles. When he reads man coverage, if the throw ain't there, he's going ahead and being a young guy and pulling the ball down and running for yards.
And that's a smart way to play as a rookie. When in doubt, use your legs. I think that goes against the conventional way that the position is played.
Yep.
But you'd rather have that than the alternative of a guy being reckless with the football.
Yes.
And turning the ball over. And Bo Nix, I don't know if you know this stat, he is the first quarterback in Denver history since 1986, when John Elway did it, to be the recipient of a touchdown pass, to throw a touchdown pass, and to run a touchdown in. So to the three phases and the ways to score on offense, he has been able to accomplish that in his rookie season, when that was, I believe, had to be John Elway's fourth or fifth season in the league. So to your point, using his legs when he's in trouble can be as has shown to be as detrimental to opposing defenses as his arm. Now, their last game, they played the Ravens. They lost 41-10. They started off extremely slow with two straight losses to the Seahawks and the Steelers. But since then, prior to the Ravens game, they won 5 of 6 games.
Yeah.
So they are a team that's definitely ascending. Again, it's another example to me of, if they get this win in Kansas City, it's like in their mind, in their psyche, that they've won 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
It might only be one in the standings, but to them, it's like a huge boost. So we can't allow that to happen. But they are definitely going to be a very formidable team.
Well, we know these divisional games would count as two.
Yeah.
Even if they don't, on your record, they don't. Mentally, as a team, you know those division teams, you got to beat your division.
Yeah.
You got to beat your division. You got to win at home. And then when it comes to the playoffs, you just got to create a tomorrow. And I think overall, man, what I would say going into this game is we just want to be consistent and make sure that we are growing in all our phases. And I say that to say that, like, Kareem Hunt has been very impactful to this team as far as creating the attitude
yep.
and a desire to run downhill, run power football. I think our offensive line likes that type of running back behind them. And that's not to say that when Pacheco comes back, we don't get back to the perimeters, the explosive plays. Because Kareem, he's not a guy that's going to run for 15-plus
yeah.
yards. But he's going to, like, I mean, death by a thousand cuts. I
yeah.
mean, he's going to just keep a body blowing you until – in the fourth quarter and overtime, you don't have any desire to tackle him anymore.
And that showed last week against the Buccaneers. That drive
yes.
In overtime was pretty much when you got Patrick Mahomes saying, "Let's run it in." Of all people, not saying that he wants to pad his stats, but he always wants to be the playmaker.
Yes.
He's always shown himself to I want the ball when there's a doubt. We saw that in the Super Bowls, the scrambles. Big plays thrown across his body, left-handed throws, all those different things. And at that moment, he conceded to Kareem Hunt and the run game for the Chiefs that we're going to run it in and win the game on the ground.
Yeah, and running the ball does nothing but open up the passing game. And, yes, when you talk about passing game, there's deep passes, there are middle passes, short passes. The running game will open up the opportunity to play action and go deep.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have an opportunity with a guy like Worthy to attack the deep halves, that keeps the safeties out of the running gaps.
Yep.
So if you don't want to see a loaded, a heavy box, nine men, eight men in the box, you want to keep the box light of six players so you continue to run the ball. Every once in a while, you got to go downfield. And even whether you complete the pass or not, having the atmosphere and the attitude that, hey, if you start creeping up in safeties, we got guys that can beat you fast, beat you down the field. That is what keeps the safeties deep. You keep the D-line and linebackers playing the run. That opens up that 12 to 15 yard pass, and we got guys like Watson and D-Hop now that can really take advantage of that possession passing game. Obviously with Travis Kelce also, but dominate those middle passing lanes, that middle yardage, and so it just everything kind of plays off of one another. It's complementary football. So I just want to see us continue to go down that route on the offensive side of the ball, and in defense. Let's make sure we don't make this guy to be something he's not.
Yeah.
not we don't need him to, you know, put on no capes and all that. We can work on some of the spy techniques, some of the things that we're going to have to use even a week from now when we talk about the Buffalo Bills. That's another team with playing quarterback runs. So let's go ahead and use this week for what it is. Getting down to the nitty-gritties, understanding our techniques, communications, and it's clearing up some of the things that when we talk about coverage-wise, especially against that tight end position. Let's clear that up this week.
Barbershop, you touched on a lot there that I want to get
touched
into
on a lot.
In the next segment, because I've always said, as former players, and the way we watch the game is not better than the general fan, is not better than anyone, it's just different. We see a lot of things that are going on. While a lot of fans may just watch the ball, we watch all other things that the
yes.
ball just comes into play. Sometimes we know where the ball is going to go before the ball's even snapped because we see the game different.
Yes.
When we come back from this break, I want to dig deep into that component of the game, give some school some of the fans. We
school
gave out
them
the
up.
Grades
school them
earlier,
up.
Offense, defense, special teams. Now we're going to give some of those extra notes they used to get. You used to get those notes on your page in red. I used to get those notes on my page in blue or black. So we're going to give them some notes and some tidbits to look at the game
studious.
A little bit different when we come back.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back, winding down these final segments to the end of the show. Again, this is the takeover edition, the players-only takeover edition of the Fans Football Show. We are on location at Buffalo Wild Wings here in St. Joe off of North Belt Highway.
right off the intersection of I-29 and 169. Still a lot of cool giveaways. We got a Travis Kelce bobblehead, a 4-foot-tall Travis Kelce bobblehead that you can register to win, as well as a back-to-back Bud Light Super Bowl LED neon light that's right here to our right. It takes up almost three-quarters of the table. We got Bud Light reps here promoting Bud Light. We got some Bud Lights ourselves here at the table. And it's just great to be a part of the Chiefs Kingdom up here in St. Joe, where the Chiefs have their training camp. So we know there's a lot of diehard fans. And my brother Sean Barber is right next to me, and he's seen all of these people come in here. It was jam-packed for most of our show. Still a lot of people here coming in, watching college basketball. KU up by 10 points, actually 7 points right now against North Carolina. Got some college football as well on TV. So great Friday night. Got my Hawkeyes playing UCLA later tonight at 8 p.m. Central. So that's going to be fun to watch as well. But Barbershop, going into the last break, we were talking about, we went back earlier in the show, talked about the grades, offense, defense, special teams. Talked about the grades for the coaches. I always talk about how we see the game differently, not better, but different. And it's not necessarily an indictment upon the fans. It's just a fact that we see all the components of the game. I'll give you an example. We're watching football right here. I believe it's Dartmouth versus Princeton on TV. They'll run a play on TV, all 22 guys, 11 offense, 11 defense, yep, in regular speed. I can tell you what all 22 guys do. Now, a lot of fans will watch the game, and they'll see the ball. They'll see, oh, quarterback did this. He's getting pressure. They may see components of 5 or 6 guys, wide receivers not open, running back didn't cut to the right place. We see the entire screen. That's how we study the game, yeah, when we are players. I'm going to give you an opportunity in this last segment. If you had to teach the general fan 2 things that you almost feel for certain that they don't see or they don't know in watching the game of football, specifically our Chiefs, what would be 2 things that jump out on the off the screen to you that most people probably wouldn't notice?
I would say when it comes to turnovers, we talk about how to create a turnover, how to get an interception. There's almost no chance in man coverage to get interceptions. Your eyes are supposed to be locked in your man. You're allowing him, you say allow, you're allowing him to make a play on the ball, and then you work through his hands to dislodge the ball. Where in zone, you break to an area, and then you break on the quarterback's arm when the quarterback's ready to deliver and fire the ball. So most of the interceptions you see that are happening, tip balls and things, are happening because the defense goes back into a zone, and the quarterback is waiting for the receiver to get into a certain area, and now a tip ball happens and you see a ball gets intercepted. But you don't see defensive backs or safeties in man coverage, locked tight on man coverage, getting a lot of interceptions. Those
unless
are times
the receiver falls down or something like that.
And then far as linebackers are concerned, linebackers are, when it comes to playing downhill, having guys aligned properly with their eyes reading the right things, you can see right when the ball is snapped whether the offensive line is attacking you, which means it's a run play, or is he pass setting, which means you need to go to your pass progression, whether it's in the zone or man coverage. Seeing how quickly the linebackers on that second level react and get to their jobs, to me, is going to be a direct correlation of how fast a quarterback can get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
So you have very instinctive, very twitchy, fast linebackers. Those are the core concepts that are going to keep quarterbacks holding the ball a little bit longer. But if you have guys that are reading the wrong reads and reading the wrong keys, then that's when you talk about play action passes, play action, you know, runs that ends up giving up easy passes. Those, it's to me, is that that second level of coverage that ends up being the key cause of that.
I love that. One thing that jumps out to me, for me, in watching a game, the general fan, for all the fans that are listening, if you want to challenge yourself,
when you watch the football game, yes, it's entertainment. Yes, you want to be in a position where you can cheer for the Chiefs when they do something good, boo for the other team if they do something good. Obviously, have a few beverages, maybe be up here at one of the Buffalo Wild Wings participating within the Chiefs' kingdom. But if you want to challenge yourself watching the next football game, a tell. I'm not a big poker guy. I don't know if you are, Barbershop. I know there's a lot of people out there that play poker.
I play a little Bouray.
Yeah, so a lot of times the poker players will say, we're not playing against the cards. We're playing against the person.
Yes.
The person is going to tell us what they're doing based on their body language, based on tendencies, based on how they look at the cards, how they fold the cards, how they put the cards down on the table, how much they bet at certain situations. All of those different things come into play into a poker player being successful at the table.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I watch the game, one of the number one things I watch is I try to pick up tells from the other team and tells from us that will give the opponents or give us that one extra step, that one extra edge in regards to predicting a play, predicting whether it's a run or pass, predicting which side of the ball they're going to run to,
mm-hmm.
if Patrick's going to get rid of the ball quick, if their quarterback is going to run, if it's a designed run versus a pass, all of these different things that we experience, and the general fan might just react to the snap and to what happens, while there are times where I can see it before it happens. I'll give you a perfect example. Go back and watch the first half of the San Francisco 49er Kansas City Chiefs game just a few weeks ago in regular season.
All right.
Now that he's out for the year and we don't have to deal with him for the year, I'm going to give you a tell. Brandon Ayuk, one of the top playmaking wide receivers in the NFL, he broke the huddle and he lined up at the line of scrimmage differently when it was a run play versus when it was a pass play.
Okay.
His back leg was stiff. His front leg wasn't bent much when it was a run play. When it was a pass play, his back leg was flexed. His front leg was flexed more like a track stance, mm-hmm. because he was trying to run as fast off the line of scrimmage. More times than you would think, that is a tendency that we see around the NFL. Heck, I coached high school football for Lee Summit High for 2 years back in the early 2000s. And by the second half, I was calling the opponent's team plays because of just how guys broke the huddle.
Yes.
And where they lined up. They lined up outside the numbers, 3 yards, 4 yards outside the numbers when it was a run play. But when it was a pass play, they lined up on the numbers.
Yeah.
They lined up with their eyes at the quarterback when it was a pass play. But when it was a run play, they lined up with their eyes at the defensive back. So one other component in line with what I'm talking about or what you spoke about, check out when the wide receivers break the huddle. Sometimes, more times than you would think, they'll be able to tell you whether they're getting the ball, their energy levels,
mm-hmm.
breaking the huddle, the way they line up, how they survey the defense will tell you if they're getting the ball, if somebody else getting the ball, and definitely will tell you whether it's a run play or a pass play. And a lot of times, as great as coaches are, they coach so many different components of the game, they overlook some of the simple things like that. An offensive lineman lining up and with his back leg further back when it's a pass play because he's got a drop step versus a run play when he's got to drive off the ball and punch somebody.
On that same note, in high school and college, there were receivers that would always fix their gloves,
mm-hmm.
on pass plays.
Yep.
So you see them tightening their gloves or whatever. Run plays, they go out there, they don't mess with them. But you see them mess with those gloves, get them tight, getting them fingers things that you know it's a pass. And then there was also running backs. You could tell by how low they got in their stance back,
yep.
there when it was pass protection. They was looking bird dogging because they wanted to make sure they picked up the right person. But then on running plays, since they knew where they were going, they were getting their true stance. And then last but not least, centers. Centers would point out who's the mic when it was pass plays because it was pass protection. But then in running plays, they would just get down and be ready to snap the ball because obviously their run blocks were defined already. So always something.
And then the crazy thing is that they don't even realize they do it.
Oh, no.
It's just like a tell in poker. Guys don't realize. Professionals, and you think they practice every single day. They have the best technology, the best coaching, and you can go into a game and have a game plan. Somebody can point it out, hey, Patrick, every time you do this, every time you snap your fingers, every time you lick, you take your fingers to your lips,
yep.
It's a throw, it's a pass. Every time you wipe your hands on your pants, it's a run play. Mm-hmm. You might not want to do it. He'll go into the game thinking that, and for the first quarter,
he'll fix it.
But once you start breathing
heavy,
once you get to second half, once you get into two-minute offense,
them tails come out,
bro. The tails come out just like on a poker table. So for you fans out there, I think that's one component with all the podcasts. You have a great podcast. There's a lot of podcasts around the country of different athletes who have played the game. These are the different nuances that I think we could add to the general fans' experience. It's just giving them some other thing to look at that might give them a little bit more excitement, a little bit more understanding of the game of football. So there you have it, some nuggets from Sean Barber, a couple of nuggets from Danan Hughes. We got one more segment before we shut it down in this Friday night's version, the Takeover edition
Takeover.
Of the Fans Football Show. We're up here on location at Buffalo Wild Wings in St. Joe, Missouri. When we come back, one last thought on this upcoming matchup against the Denver Donkeys.
It's a master copy.
All right, we are back. The Fan Football Show up here on location at Buffalo Wild Wings in St. Joe, Missouri, right off the intersection of I-29 and 169. It has been a fun-filled almost 2 hours here with my brother Sean Barber, a.k.a. Barbershop. As well, and I am Danan Hughes. You can follow me on Twitter/X at DAHughesGuy83 or Sean Barber at SeanBarber59. I am also on Instagram at Danan Hughes. We are wrapping this show up just in a few minutes. We got about 5 minutes left, Barbershop. We got the Donkeys coming to town.
Donkeys!
What do we need? Give me two or three keys to victory this weekend. What do we need to come out 9-0 on the season?
I think we got to continue to be who we are. We've set a tempo. We've set the stage about how this defense stops the run. We get after the quarterback and we eliminate big plays. So I don't think we should. You don't do anything different defensively. Let's stick to our motto. Let's get after the quarterback. Let's focus on the run. They don't have great a passing game right now. They don't do a lot of different things. They make you pay when you make mistakes. But pretty much kind of mirror what we saw the Ravens do to them. I mean, just kind of man them up, play a lot of guys in the box, stop the rushing, avoid missed tackles. They just don't do a lot of things that scares you.
Yeah.
That from a personnel standpoint, from an execution standpoint. Offensively, when we're in scoring position, let's get points. Let's do what we got to do. First down, touchdown. We don't get a touchdown, get a field goal. Let's make it a very boring day for Matt Ariza. I don't think besides Pat Surtain Jr., there's a lot of playmakers on their defense. But if you allow them to strip sack, you allow them to peanut punch, you allow them to do things, they do have capable players on the defense side of the ball that can make it interesting.
Yeah, I think definitely this is a winnable game. And before I get into my keys, let's remember next week the Fan Football Show will be on location at the 9207 Northeast Missouri Highway 152 location. So right off of Highway 152 in Kansas City, Missouri. We'll see. Hopefully Binkley will be healthy and back. Our prayers are out to him that he'll have a speedy recovery. And it'll either be Sean Barber or Mitchell Schwartz out there as well, giving you some schooling on this past game against the Denver Donkeys and then that upcoming game, a huge game next week against the Buffalo Bills. So they'll preview that. Remember, the show will be at Buffalo Wild Wings off of Missouri Highway 152 in Kansas City, Missouri. Come out 6 to 8 p.m. Great food deals, great drink deals, and a lot of outstanding energy from the Chiefs Kingdom at that location. This Broncos team can be a dangerous team. Some people say a trap game. I don't believe in trap games at the NFL level. You got to respect and take every team the same way, regardless if they're 5-4 like the Broncos, or if they're 3-5, or, you know, 1-8 at this point. Teams can show up at any given moment, and especially if you're playing the two-time defending Super Bowl champs on their home field, and you want to announce to the league that you are a team to be reckoned with, that you are a team that could make some noise in the postseason, and that you have turned the corner with your rookie corner and some of the youth that you have on your team, the best way to accomplish that if you're a Denver Broncos fan or a player is to come into GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium and win. They do have a solid run game, averaging over 4.4 yards per carry. Javonte Williams, a big, hard-nosed running back, and then Bo Nix, who's averaging 5.1 yards per carry. So you have to expect they're not going to try to put Bo Nix, his rookie arm, in a position to have to win them the football game. They're going to lean on the run game
yes.
against our very dominant run defense. They have a top-five defense. We are a top-five defense. Not sure that will equate to a lot of points being scored in this game, but it's going to be an entertaining game, and it's going to be a bruising game like we have become accustomed to seeing in the AFC West when divisional opponents face each other. So I feel like it's a win. I'm going to go out and say it's going to be a 24-17 win for the good guys. The Kansas City Chiefs go 9-0 after this weekend. The early game, 12 noon. Join me, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel for the pregame show 3 hours before kickoff on Sunday and the postgame show thereafter. Again, next week, Buffalo Wild Wings on a 152 Highway. For Sean Barber, for Quentin, for Dane and Hughes, we're out. Have a great weekend. Peace.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.